This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Friday, January the 3rd of 2025. The time is 9:07. Currently overcast skies and 11 degrees with a wind chill factor of 5 degrees below zero at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, for some odd reason, we have not been able to figure it out yet. 1 hour into the show, our Facebook feed has started up, so you can go to facebook.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO page and be able to see our video stream as well. Just again, I don't know why, but for some reason our number one does not seem to work, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just pops on, and you can join us that way. You can also join us by making a comment at that Facebook post with our video feed. It'll come to us and be able to see it and respond to it. You can also send us a question or a comment by sending us a text or by calling at the same number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program. You can also use your Civic Media app and open up the 98.9 WXCO page as well. Coming up here in this hour at 9:21, we'll be talking some Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklik. Coming up at the end of the program, we will have our daily history lesson, including a look at famous events that have occurred on this date in history. We'll also talk about some of the celebrity birthdays, events being acknowledged today, and have our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. Ian is 2 out of 4 so far this week, so today is important. Try to get him a third correct answer. That would mean more right than wrong, and that would mean a winning week. So hopefully, yes, we'll be able to do that and give Ian a good start here to 2025. And Ian Welsh, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Do you want to know what the topic is for today's number for the day quiz?
Well, sure, why not?
Elon Musk.
Oh, dear.
Elon Musk. So stick around. Elon Musk is our topic in the number for the day quiz. So that will be coming up.
This will be an interesting number for sure.
It certainly will. I want to also let people know about Monday's show. On Monday, will be January the 6th. It will be the 4th anniversary of the insurrection. And I'm going to take quite a bit of time on Monday to discuss January 6th of 2021, talk about democracy, talk about our country, and basically make sure we remember that day, despite the fact that too many people have not remembered that day. It's hard to believe that 4 years after that, the people of this country have elected the man who led that insurrection back to president. But we are going to talk about it Monday morning. And also in the second hour, talking about democracy on a local level. Also, I'm sure to talk about January the 6th a little bit as well. We'll be joined by Nancy Stensel. Nancy has been with us many times, and she is the newly elected chair again of the Marathon County Democrats, and we'll talk about what we can look forward to in 2025. Lots of different things to think about and to be aware of, and Nancy Stenzel will be with us coming up on Monday morning in the second hour of the show. But I'm going to have a timeline in the first hour. We are going to let you know again what happened, especially with the threat by Donald Trump of releasing the January 6th terrorists back into society when he gets inaugurated coming up on January the 20th. So
I hope it's very important that we talk about this event because these actions are inexcusable. Just the way it happened and just the people who got hurt and just the like blow to our democracy was incredibly low, and just the fact that people supported this and think that, oh, well, this is a democratic way of dealing with this. People, open your eyes. I mean, this was not a peaceful protest. There were people that were doing horrible things I'm not even going to say.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it on Monday. So I got you going here. We don't remember what your dad said. Keep that deep breath.
You're right.
So we will talk a lot about it coming up Monday on the anniversary. So I just want to let people know, hopefully you can join us Monday morning as we remember January the 6th. And I think we all need to remember January the 6th.
Indeed.
Before in this segment, I wanted to continue talking a little bit again about the comparison between Carter and Trump when it comes to ethics and corruption. And also, frankly, who the better businessman is. Because everybody has this assumption that Donald Trump is this wonderful businessman. Well, Jimmy Carter, as a very young man, got 1 acre from his parents. His parents, Earl and Lillian Carter, owned a peanut farm, warehouse, and a store outside Plains, Georgia, a very small community in Georgia. And Jimmy Carter proved to be a much better businessman than the young Donald Trump. Trump relied heavily on his wealthy father's assistance and still went bankrupt at least 6 times. I mean, six times. But as a teenager, Carter received 1 acre of his father's farmland, and he grew, packaged, and sold peanuts. When the price of cotton crashed back in those days around the Great Depression, he bought up excess bales and sold them for a profit. He used that money to purchase some tenant housing that he rented out to farm workers through his time in college. This was a very young man, but he was already showing some great business skills.
Again, demonstrating the example of a workhorse versus a show horse.
Yep. And then
Jimmy Carter worked hard for his money.
And Jimmy Carter then received an appointment to the Naval Academy in 1943. He married his wife, Rosalind, in 1946. And then the Carters moved around as he was a naval officer. They lived in Virginia, Hawaii, Connecticut, New York, and California during his deployments. But then in 1953, Carter was planning to eventually work on the USS Seawolf, which was intended to become the second U.S. nuclear submarine. But his plans were changed permanently when his father died that summer. The family farm was in decline and might not have survived, and that would have devastated Carter's mother. So much like George Bailey in the movies, It's a Wonderful Life, Carter put his personal ambitions aside, returned home to run his family business, and his wife hated that. She liked traveling. She liked the military life. And she said that in returning to Plains, it felt like a monumental step backward. But Jimmy Carter did the right thing. How many times have you heard anybody say Donald Trump did the right thing? Very, very few times. But
not many.
Carter's first year harvest then failed due to drought, and he took out several lines of credit to stay afloat. However, with a lot of hard work and dedication, the business steadily improved under his leadership. And he put in his life to build that business, his sweat, everything about him. And yet, he did step away from it, even temporarily, when he became president of the United States.
Because he didn't want to have a conflict of interest.
Because he knew it was the right thing to do. That's, again, the bottom line, the right thing to do. And then you have Donald Trump. He doesn't hold himself to any of such restrictions. He would think, you know what Donald Trump would think? He would be thinking Jimmy Carter was a loser and a sucker for doing that. How dare you do that? You could be making some money being president.
He used his presidency the first time around to elevate his personal brand. He promoted his own properties in office. I mentioned the fact that how he charged the Secret Service, the people assigned with keeping him alive, as much as $1,185 per night to stay at his properties when he traveled. Because Trump would go to his properties when he would go off on travels. Mm. And then the Secret Service would have to be with him. And when he had his Secret Service men stay with him, he would charge them nearly $1,200 per night. That was more than five times the recommended government rate. Again, it's just greed. Greed, greed, greed. And then Republican political organizations dropped more than $3 million at Trump's D.C. hotel, which was conveniently located just a few blocks from the White House.
How convenient.
Trump has consistently thumbed his nose at the Constitution's Emoluments Clause, which guards against foreign interests buying off a president. Revenue at his New York hotel surged in 2018 thanks to conveniently timed visits from the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Remember this? In 2019, I remember this, Trump tried to have his Doral Resort selected as the site where world leaders would gather for the G7 summit in order for that hotel to make a lot of money. Carter sold all his personal stock before entering the White House. Trump returns to office in a couple of weeks with $3.76 billion in the social media company Truth Social that he still uses as one of his primary platforms for disinformation. After the election, when Trump posted of his shares, "I have no intention of selling," all in capital letters. And then Trump's Truth Social stock price soared, which directly benefited him financially.
He likes using the caps lock on his
social
media accounts, doesn't he?
And then you have the gall of Trump's incoming press secretary and transition spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt, telling the Washington Post, and I mean, I don't know how she can look at herself in the mirror when she says this. Mm. "Unlike most politicians, President Trump didn't get into politics for profit. He's fighting because he loves the people of his country and wants to make America great again."
Seriously, how can she say that with a straight face?
It's gaslighting. That's all it is. It's gaslighting. I mean, Trump made a fortune from his presidency. According to Forbes.com, during his first term, Trump businesses made $2.4 billion. I mean, he is selling $2 bills bearing his likeness for the sucker's price of $19.95. He's been selling guitars. I'm sure many people have seen the Donald J. Trump guitars recently. I mean, and Carter's personal business actually suffered during his presidency. I mean, his farm was in more than $1 million in debt when he got it back after his presidency. Rosalind said, "We thought we were going to lose everything." So, again, I mean, you have a guy that believed that following the rules and not having, and going beyond the rules was important. And then you have the guy who's looking to make a buck every single day of the week while he's in office. We're going to take a quick timeout and then be joined by Paul Mickley for our Wisconsin sports segment coming up next. The time is 9:19 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to At Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.com. I should say WXCO.FM. If you go to WXCO.com, I have no idea where you're going, but WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, here for hour number two of the show. In hour number one, it wasn't working, but in hour number two recently, it's been working. Our Facebook.com feed, if you go to our 98.9 WXCO page, you can see a Facebook video of us in the studio. And now sitting across from me is Paul Mickley, back after a week away.
week away, yeah.
You were off enjoying Christmas and heading down to southeast Wisconsin and seeing the Bucks and seeing the Admirals and seeing the family. I mean, you were all over the place.
Packers, the Monday before.
Oh, yeah, man.
The week of Paul.
You are living the life. I
yeah,
tell
it comes back to reality pretty quick. But for a week, it was gosh, time goes fast when you get older, man. And
you have actually, no idea.
Yeah, I do have an idea. It goes fast. You guys were talking before, and not. I know I'm not here for to talk about anything political, but I'm not talking political.
Go for it.
But Jimmy, I got the opportunity. My brother lives down. You were talking about Plains,
in Georgia.
And my brother works at Georgia State Western, GSW. And that's where Jimmy Carter went to school.
Really?
So he got a picture with him back in the day. And when I went down there, we actually with my parents, and this is probably 15, 20 years ago, we got to visit Jimmy Carter's where his family was born
in Plains,
yep, and then where he was living, where he lived all the way up until the last second. It was great. It was one of those, you know, one of those things that I don't think I would have thought that was very interesting, and as you get older, right. and you kind of just remember. I remember that trip and what happened on it, and I just remember that they would say that he would be going out to the social service. They would get upset
Secret
with him.
Service.
Secret Service, sorry, that he would like go for bike rides and he just would like go for a bike ride because he's just a people person
that's his hometown.
That's his hometown, and they would have to like, Jimmy, why do we gotta go? Because you know they gotta follow him and they gotta make sure.
Exactly.
It was, but all the stories that you would hear about it was just again, it was just one of those where when you're growing up and you have a time in life and you see it, and now it comes back and it's like, you know, he was 100 and he passed away, and the history of where he was, and you know, back in 19, you saw him go by Rothschild
79, yeah.
April 5th, I think it was, and that he was in Wausau and he was coming down, and then he actually was at Newman.
I actually didn't remember what the details were until you had mentioned it, because I remembered being in Rothschild Elementary School. And remembering that we went out and we saw the motorcade go past, and I had forgotten what the reason was, but it was apparently the 10th anniversary of Dave Obey being a congressman. So apparently an event at Newman Catholic was held that day where President Carter and Dave Obey must have been there as well. So, again, I actually learned something because you have this such a long time ago.
Well, I would say, how old were you? Because I was 2 at the time, so I probably don't remember.
I was 8.
Just how things in life, it all comes back. It's just ironic, but so that was my as I was driving over, I was thinking about that stuff. But we got more pressing issues to be worried
about. I guess of the 3 games that you saw, what was the most fun? Packers, the Bucks, or the Admirals?
You know, Packers, you know, the Bucks do a good job of putting on, it was a Christmas feel.
Sure.
Unfortunately, after looking at last night, we saw the better of the 2 games. they had everybody last night and they lost, but they do a good job of putting it was Christmassy, you know what I mean? Like everything was, and the players on the thing, and they keep you entertained during timeouts, and they think they do a good job of that. And it was more Christmassy feel. I didn't get that at the Packer game as much, and maybe that was because they everybody expected them to win, and it was a blowout and things like that. Don't get me wrong, it was great.
Right.
And got to stay and got to see Lambeau going to bed. And so one night Lambeau put me to bed, and the next night or a couple nights later, the Pfizer Forum put me to bed because it was literally, you know, arms away of there. And my son got to see Beauchamp and Beauchamp at the hotel that night. And,
really?
And Beauchamp came in there, and he didn't do nothing last night, but when he was in there, he was plus, they lost by 3, so he must have been plus 18. Plus 18.
Because he part of the 20-0 run, right?
Yes. Yep. He didn't do anything, really. He got a couple of rebounds.
He came in there at the right time. He got in the right
time. But he was plus 18 when he was in there, so maybe that's a sign
I never thought of you as a hockey guy. Why'd you go to a hockey game?
Because it was And they do a good, but it's interesting to see it's different crowds for all the sports.
Right. I imagine that the ticket prices for the Admirals, and but I'd heard because they had redone the Milwaukee Arena.
Yep.
Now it's the Panther Arena. How was it? Was it a nice place?
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice, it's cozy probably, place.
It's not Pfizer, obviously, but that place has been there. I mean, that's where the Bucks played for all those years before Bradley Center.
Yep.
Yeah. It was the same venue. In fact, I remember doing a WISA state game back in the, right before WISA went away back.
Yep.
Sitting courtside. And that was a cool experience at the, yep, the old Milwaukee Arena, but still,
yeah. They have a lot. I happened to be there. It must have been 8, 9, 10 years ago when Donald Driver and Bo Ryan got inducted into that thing, and so they have other events there, obviously, and they use it quite a bit. It's just I guess if you live in a town like that, you probably have something to do every night if you wanted to, because you got the Wave that plays in there too, right, and you got UW Milwaukee that plays in there, and you got the Admirals. They're basically just starting their season. I think they're like whatever games into it, but they're probably not even maybe they're a quarter way in. So it was good to see, and I like hockey. It's a different. Were you coming on here and bashing me saying I don't like hockey?
No, I just didn't know that you were into hockey at all. I didn't realize that you followed it at all.
It was good.
I know you have your football and your basketball and all that other good stuff, but learn something new.
Do you know who the Admirals their farm team is?
Who the main team is? Nashville.
Oh, see?
No, Nashville Predators. So, very cool. And man, I mean, that's a week.
It was a good weekend.
So now back to the grind.
Back to reality.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about actually what is going on with the Packers and the Bucks and the Badgers. Coming up next with Paul Mickley, an information update straight ahead, and then back with more. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Mickley. Are you going to the game Sunday? How many games have you gone to this year? I mean,
I'm not going to Sunday.
You're this high roller now. How many have you gone to?
Packer games?
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, yeah. It feels like you've been there a lot more than that.
No.
I guess compared to zero, it feels like a lot.
No. In both situations, it was,
it's very good. But last week, it's almost a replay of the first game of the Vikings. You fall behind real bad, come charging back, and lose by two. What was your take on the game in Minneapolis last week?
You know, all those games I wasn't really worried about until I find out that Alexander, and again, people are going to say Alexander's not good. And again, I'm not disagreeing with them or whatever the case might be.
If they say he's not good, they're idiots. I mean,
you can be
unhappy that he's been not, as Mike McCarthy says, the best ability is availability.
Yes.
And obviously he's not been available. But even, I mean, the thing that kind of shocked me was when the Pro Bowl names came out, he was named an alternate, and he's been out for most of the year. So apparently there's still people that, when he's out there, they're very much...
Well, let's get this straight. The Pro Bowl is the ultimate, what am I going to say?
Well,
make-believe.
No, but I mean the game itself, but I mean the vote, because I mean...
The vote's make-believe.
No. Okay, whatever.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
They just pick people that they think were good last year, and it takes you 2 years to get on there.
Honestly, the Pro Bowl was a waste of time.
Well, it was. It's always been a waste of time. But I mean, I'm talking about just the, is the all pro team?
No, That's real.
Okay, all right.
Did he make the all protein?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's not out yet. But because they actually do all right, their
all right.
weight.
Back to the point, but he is somebody that helps.
He helps
against a team like Minnesota. Especially.
Look at the percentages. I mean, I think it was like I was reading this thing and it said 71% when he's not in there, and 60% when he's in there. About percentage
like
of passing. Yes, I mean, so it was crazy how big a difference it was. Now again, let's not forget either, four of the five losses he didn't play,
right?
So and those are the good teams, so you're obviously your percentage is going to be up when you're playing the better team. So does he make the difference? You know what I mean? Like I don't know if he makes a difference. I think so.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, come on, the guy is a terrific football player. I mean when he's in there. So obviously that's, do you think he'll be back next year with the Packers? Because I don't know if you heard some of I'm sure you have some of the comments made by LaFleur. It sounded like there was a disagreement because he was saying, oh, I can't really because he was asked about, you know, if there's a difference of opinion on whether or not he would, you know, should be available or not. I got the sense that there is some friction there right now.
Well, I mean, I think I got the friction that you see guys at the games, and I didn't see him like around the team as much during those. You know what I mean? Like when somebody's usually hurt, you see him. You know sure. what I mean? Like I didn't see him around during. Not that that means anything, but usually well, those kinds of guys
wasn't like that great teammate last year, Aaron Rodgers, wearing the headsets on the sidelines. What a wonderful teammate that guy is.
Yeah, we're not going to even go there. You want to not go somewhere, that's not go there.
All right.
But but if they get those other guys back, they need to have everybody else back.
Yep.
And in my mind, I was thinking, well, if we had those guys in the playoffs with Alexander, I was feeling good.
Right. Because, I mean, when you look at the NFC and look at the NFL as a whole, it's not like when I was a kid where they had dominant teams. Because, I mean, obviously the system has changed. Obviously, they didn't have free agency back when I was growing up, and the Steelers were winning four Super Bowls in 6 years and the such. And Raiders were great, and the Cowboys were great. There's great teams, and then there were really bad teams. But you look at it, it's wide open. I mean, even Detroit, I mean, I think that's the tough matchup this week because they're so banged up. I mean, you talk about, again, who's healthy and who's not healthy. Detroit's not healthy right now. They give up a lot of points. They have to outscore teams.
Yep.
And it just feels
and
like
they are doing it.
But I felt like if the Packers were, you know, if you had a guy like Jair out there, they would maybe be able to slow him down enough to get that two. Because watching Detroit play, it feels like if you get two stops, you can beat them.
Correct. And against them last time, Nixon had that interception. They need another one.
Yep.
They need more
one
turnover.
More, one more stop.
One more more big play. And that same thing with the Minnesota game. Those close games are going to come down to Love might not be ready yet.
Well, he's
maybe he's next year.
He's a little hot and cold, right? I mean, in the game Sunday, I mean, he was missing a lot. Then all of a sudden, boom! All of a sudden, he got hot. I mean, when he's hot, he is fantastic. But the consistency isn't maybe quite at the level that. Again, he's a guy that probably still is growing. He had the injury issues early in the season, but I think that when he's on, he has shown that he's definitely got that ability to be right at the top of the food chain in the NFL.
You know, if you look at what, you don't want to do this, but what Favre and Rodgers did and where they turned the corner,
right?
It's next. It next year it looks
right,
like
right.
They might be a year away after the Super Bowl. And you know, I don't know if he's got the receivers that those guys had yet, and we don't know that. I mean, quite yet. I mean, Watson again, availability is a key.
Yeah.
And then Reed, and sometimes he goes. You know, Mel Carton, that we're wondering where he is.
Right.
You know, and you know, things like that. And defensively, they gotta get more pressure. The bottom line is, Gary has two less pressures than Aiden Hutchinson does.
And Aiden's been out for 2 months. You're right.
We got to get pressure.
You're exactly right. I mean, and frankly, it's because you have quarterbacks that are that good. I mean, Darnold has proven that he's that good. I mean, even Caleb Williams on Sunday, if you don't get pressure on the guy, he's going to be able to – he's got receivers. They're going to be able to move the football. If they don't put pressure and make him think quickly, they're going to be able to move the football.
Correct.
So, yeah.
But the Bears will just lose somehow anyways. But but any quarterback in the NFL, if you just sit back there and just give him time, he's going to look like Darnold. I was wrong. I said earlier in the year, I'll admit this, I said that I thought he wasn't, but he found the right system, and now it looks like they might go with him, and they're looking at maybe trading JJ. And you know, so I was wrong. I thought that he might not have, but he found the right system, and they obviously do a good job.
And obviously, when you, because I mean, so much of the world clicks now, and these stories I'll talk about whatever, you know, he may go, he may stay. It's all to be determined. It depends on how he plays in the playoffs. Would you agree for Darnold? I mean, ultimately, because if he lays a huge egg, that would change the equation. You know, especially if they have the home field advantage and the Vikings pull the Vikings, because the Vikings.
Correct. So you're telling me that they, if they don't go to the Super Bowl.
I'm saying that
if they have home field advantage.
I'm not making a point. I'm just saying I think you have to see how it occurs as well. I mean, if he plays exceptionally well and they lose, then you just, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, in this era, you could lose 44-42. I mean, we've seen it so many times. It's like you could do everything right offensively and still lose the game because we are in this era where it's just so much. I mean, You should be amazed that you actually saw a shutout. You don't see shutouts in the NFL anymore.
No, it was the first one of the year.
Exactly. So you were there for a historic achievement.
Yeah,
exactly
of the year. Right. Well, I mean, some of that tough. I mean, the Jets were getting basically shut out, and then they decided to play 7-on-7 after that, and right. then Taylor went down the field. Right, right. But and that's what happens is these guys, they really throttle back. Because they're not going to get injuries, they throttle back and they go into that to prevent defense. And I just think that they probably are confident enough that they think they can bring anybody in the quarterback after this situation. Because everybody thought they're leaving Cousins,
right, right, right.
And look at what Cousins did over there. So maybe he is that good of a coaching staff.
But we did see that you have to have a certain level because they fell apart last year when Cousins was not available. I mean, they were terrible.
But I think they had some receivers out too during that course of that time. They weren't completely healthy at that receiver spot either. And those receivers are really good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, they caught the ball. I mean,
that was the difference.
They caught the football. They made some plays to make Darnold also look very, very good.
That fourth down play for the Packers, Minnesota guys.
Yeah,
they would have catch it.
Exactly.
Reed, it wasn't the greatest throw in the world, but that's got to be caught.
But no, you're right. I mean, Minnesota's receivers. If they got their hands on it, they made the grab. That was
every single one of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. I mean, even one that was called back.
Yes. I mean, they were, and I think Green Bay is going to have, that's an issue if you're not going to get pressure. You know what? And I don't know. Maybe they're saving some stuff for the playoffs. But I thought they were pressuring a decent amount, even though, but again, that goes back to if we can get Quay back, he is. A good blitzer.
Yeah.
He's a good blitzer. And to be honest with you, the Cooper is a stud. And they found a gem in there. The question is, are they going to be able to put both those guys in the field at one time?
Well, that's why Halfley gets the big money. Better make it work.
Well, you're two best players.
You got to have the talent out there, right?
You have to.
I mean, that's the way you look at it as a coach. You want your talent out there. That's the way it has to be.
So that's where I think they're saving some stuff. Not because they're trying to save stuff, but those guys have not been on the field together.
Let me ask you about the Badgers basketball, because I see tonight's a pretty significant game, isn't it? Because they already lost. You said it. But they already lost one at home to Michigan in the conference. You don't want to lose another one at home to Iowa in the conference. And all of a sudden, because in the end, if they don't have to be great, rate in the conference, but
500.
But you would like to be a little above 500. Make sure you're in the upper part of a bracket in March. This is the kind of game that I think.
Well, in a perfect world, I mean that's, you want to be in the upper. You have to win this game.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not a question. I would agree 100%. This is a must-win game.
How are they? What do you think the Badgers are? Because they got off such a wonderful start. They've had a few, you know, stub toes recently it's sort of been a downtime.
Well, they had
recently.
Three games in a row there with the conference games
right.
and Marquette. So it was three good opponents during that time frame. But they came back and beat Butler,
and then they beat
Detroit, which was a very bad team. But
the Butler one was pretty good.
The Butler one was decent. On the road. I mean, Butler lost to Villanova, I think, last night. Butler's not very good. But they're probably a 500 kind of team.
But it's still a power conference good win.
On the road.
How good is Wisconsin? How good are they?
I don't think we know.
Okay.
But I will say is that you know they're going to get the max out of themselves because of that coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I think sooner or later people are going to realize Storer, he went, they lost, Kansas lost to West Virginia at home, was it?
Yep.
And Storer went 15 minutes, 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals. He had all zeros in 15 minutes. That's what $1 million buys you. my point being is, if you think football is crazy, basketball is going to be even more crazy. And I think that you're going to have to get, you're going to have this kind of coaching staff to be able to move up the ladder once in a while. Because you have to, because I think in basketball, you can out coach them for one game here and there a little more than you can do in football. Football, if you got all the talent, it's a little more difficult. I think basketball, you can pull that upset a little easier. That's just my thought process.
And how good is Marquette? They killed Providence on the road on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that was a good game.
And now they got Creighton tonight.
And that's, yeah, it's a great night of basketball tonight. And Creighton's at home.
Yep,
at home. And so they got, that's a must
Badgers
win.
Badgers at 6, Marquette at 8.
I know. This is like the Merry Christmas again Friday night on there. And but yeah, so these are two games that I think both teams have to have. Marquette's in a little different situation. I think they're going for the conference title. You know what I mean? I think that's where they're at. The Big East is down. Was down last year.
I was looking at
the
schedule.
Again.
I mean, after Creighton, they have Georgetown, they have DePaul, they have Xavier at home, and then they have Seton Hall. So it's a chance for Marquette to make some hay here in the next few weeks.
They have to make the hay because there's only Connecticut's good. But Creighton was ranked there.
Creighton is always hard for Marquette. They are, I swear that they've had, if you look back, even in Milwaukee, they play very tough, always tough.
And you know,
McDermott is a good coach.
I was just about to say, what's the common denominator about that?
Good
coach in a program that would be, I would think, like a Wisconsin. Do you know right. what I mean? Like they have to get everything out of the max out of their possibility.
Yep.
I agree. He's a good coach.
Yeah. Those coaches are the biggest factor.
Hey, well, no, I think it's Matt LaPay doing the game
there
tonight.
There you go.
So that's the difference tonight. That's why Wisconsin will win.
Well, enjoy your Friday night.
You too, Chad. And I know you're itching to get back to doing some more games, huh? You got off tonight?
No, I'm heading to Neillsville.
Oh, Neillsville. Marathon.
So, yep, right in the middle of those Badger Marquette games. There
I'll,
you go.
I'll turn you on.
Thanks, Paul.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We are already up to day number 3 of 2025.
It's moving along.
We are cruising right through this year, January the 3rd, 2025. There are now 362 days remaining in the year 2025, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. And we go back. As I try to find the right day. Hey, we go back to 1496, way back. Leonardo da Vinci unsuccessfully tested a flying machine.
Yes, I remember that machine.
On this date in 1871, margarine was patented. On this date in 1888, the drinking straw was patented. On this date in 1899, the first known use of the word automobile appeared in an editorial in the New York Times. Again, it's baffling. It blows the mind.
Yeah.
How far we have come in technology in the last couple of centuries. I mean, it's just amazing that.
I still remember back in history, the biggest invention was the steam engine.
And now it just keeps going faster and faster and faster. On this date in 1959, Alaska was admitted as the 49th U.S. state. On this date, in 1987, Aretha Franklin became the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. On this date, in 2004, after hosting the show for over 30 years, Casey Kasem gave up the hosting duties of American Top 40 to Ryan Seacrest. And on this date, 4 years ago, on this date in 2021, in a recording released to the media, Donald J. Trump tells Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, quote, "I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have," end quote. Remember that, people?
Oh, dear.
Guy you're putting back into office? Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Victoria Principal played Pamela Ewing on Dallas for many years, is 75 years old today. Mel Gibson turned 69. Formula One legend Michael Schumacher. Man, that's won more driving championships than anyone. 56 years old, but he has been out of the public eye for a number of years. He had suffered a serious head injury skiing, and he was in a coma, and he's basically, I think, in a very poor state. We have not heard any updates, but one of the greatest drivers of all time, Michael Schumacher, 56 years old today. Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years played Winnie on The Wonder Years. Also the author of 6 mathematics books. Very smart woman in addition to being a talented actor. Nice. Danica McKellar, 50 years old today. Former NFL quarterback Eli Manning is 44. Florence Pugh from Black Widow, Little Women, Oppenheimer, 29 years old. Only 29, she's already done a lot. Activist Greta Thunberg, 22 years old. And she's also done so much already in a very young life.
Indeed.
And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Special events. J.R.R. Tolkien Day.
Oh, he is the famous author.
Yep, The Hobbit and other books. It is Chocolate-Covered Cherry Day. It is Drinking Straw Day. It is Festival of Sleep Day. I don't know what the Festival of Sleep is, but apparently it's today. And this one, I don't know. I'm not going to be celebrating this one today. It is Humiliation Day. Nobody should be humiliated. That's wrong.
Nope.
So I think that one should be wiped away, in my opinion. And also, if this one everyone should do at some point in their life. Right to Congress Day. If there's something important, write to Congress. All right, it's time for our number for the day quiz. So
yes.
We give Ian Welsh three choices on what the number for the day is. If based on the math, he should get 1 out of 3 right, which is 33%. So if he gets better than 33% during the course of the week, that means it's a passing grade. If he gets more right than wrong, it's a winning week. That means 3 out of 5. And then, of course, his record is 4 out of 5, and then we're still hoping for that perfect week at some point, 5 out of 5.
That's right.
And this week, you've already clinched a passing grade. You are 2 out of 4 this week.
Yep.
But now today, it's time to try to get a winning week. Try to get more right than wrong this week.
Unfortunately, the topic of today is Elon Musk.
Yep. Today's topic is Elon Musk. And our number for the day is the number of years it would take Elon Musk to use all of his wealth if he spent $1 million a day.
If he spent $1 million...
every day. So the number of years it would take Elon Musk to use all his wealth if he spent $1 million a day.
All right, what are my choices?
Is the correct answer 1,270 years? Is the correct answer 3,270 years? Is the correct answer 5,270 years?
Well, he does have a lot of money, so... okay. I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say it would probably take him over 3,000 years to pay it off, because he has a lot of money. So I'm going with a B and to end the week. A B is my final answer. I'm locking it in.
All right, that is 3,270 years.
Yep, that's what I think.
All right, the number of years it would take Elon Musk to use all of his wealth if he spent $1 million a day is 1,270. So it was the smallest number.
Not that long, huh?
Yeah, only 1,270 years.
Well, that's still quite a few years.
$1 million a day.
Yep.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, Ian.
You too, Judd. Happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy the weekend.
And we'll be back with Nancy Stensel on Monday and also a retrospective on January the 6th, as it is January the 6th on Monday, 4 years from the insurrection. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.